Welcome to the Pastor's Porch, a place where pastors encourage one another, speak freely about the Word of God, and engage in real communal relationships with the body of Christ.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to December. It is already December. Can't believe this. Feels like yesterday it was January, but we are in December here on the Pastor's Porch. Welcome back wherever you're listening from, tuning in to whatever day this may be. It's December, though. Still can't wrap my head around that. I don't know why I'm saying it like 15 times. But today we are going to talk about, on the Pastor's Porch, how to avoid burnout. And as we were kind of discussing it before, just watch more football, eat more food, stay in the deer woods. And that's how you avoid burnout. There we go. Episode done. Yeah. Thank you for joining us on the Pastor's Porch. We'll see you next time. Nah, I'm just kidding. Not actually. But today we are going to talk about how to avoid burnout and what that looks like in your life.
Well, I think you know, you said that as a joke, but there is a lot of truth in that. The best thing that I can think of off the top of my head when we talk about burnout is, number one, it's something we all face. Every person in ministry faces it. Every person in life faces it. Every person faces some form of burnout in some form or fashion. But, you know, as a joke, you said, hey, spend more time in the woods, talking about football or whatever, you know, eat with your friends and fellowship. But the reality is that there's a lot of truth in that. Is you've got to have personal Sabbath. The first thing I think of is we are so afraid to say no because we might hurt somebody's feelings or they might not get something they need to do or something along those lines. But I would encourage you, if we're talking about burnout and how to avoid it, the first thing I would tell you is your personal relationship with Jesus has got to come in front of whatever it is you are doing. And if your relationship with Jesus is suffering, it's only a matter of time before you're going to burn out. You are going to run out of energy. You're going to run out of words. You're going to run out of sermons. You're going to run out of ideas. You're going to run out of follow through. You're going to run out of all of these things. And so, and all of us deal with this from time to time.
Sure.
But the key to me has been, always will be, number one, got to be first, is spend time with Christ. Above all commitments, above all sermons, above all engagements, sit down with Jesus. And I think for us, this is a struggle for pastors, is we can read to get the next sermon and not always read to get fed. And There's a difference in the two. I know when I'm reading to read to enjoy the Word of God, and I know when I'm reading to work on a sermon. And there is a difference. And you can only sustain the second one for so long.
Yeah.
You've got to have your spiritual disciplines with God at work in your life.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, that second point you said, that a lot of people fail to realize when it comes to pastors, is we need fed probably actually more than the
100%.
The average Christian who walks into the church.
Right.
And people are thinking about that, probably like, well, why is that the case? Well, as much as we're giving out on a weekly basis, a daily basis, an hourly basis, right? The constant phone calls, the constant text, the constant prayer requests, and all of this, we need fed more. It's just a fact of the matter. And, you know, I think one thing that comes to mind is how, the American culture, the blueprint for how churches are supposed to be operated, right? Mm-hmm. You think of that, of what that is. Mm-hmm. Well, if you think truly about that, there is no time in those blueprints for pastors to get fed, mm-hmm. unless they do it on their own time, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And you and I have discussed it. I think there has to be opportunities for pastors to get away,
mm-hmm.
for pastors to just be an attender,
mm-hmm.
right? I think there's healthiness in that. You know, you and I have joked behind closed doors before of how people would react if we just didn't show up on a Sunday like they do. Right? Mm-hmm. And I'm joking with this, but in seriousness, like, you and I have talked about where we wish we could have the freedom for somebody, as some of our congregants do, of we just needed a rest, so we just didn't come to church today. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how nice that sounds mm-hmm. to us? But then again, if we did that, people would freak out.
Sure.
Right? But at the same, in all reality, we need that.
Yeah.
And I think just kind of the stigmatism that goes along with pastors and things, and the weight that comes along with leading, mm-hmm. that a lot of pastors don't think they can take a break, right? Mm-hmm. And man, there's a reason that the Bible is very clear that man was not made for the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. The Sabbath was made for man. Rest is important.
Oh, it's vital.
Rest is super important, and I think rest is important for leaders, and just as you said, it's important for pastors to spend time to be fed, mm-hmm. and I think that's one thing, like, you know, growing up in a pastor's home, you know, being a PK, mm-hmm. And now sitting on the other side of leading my home, is the importance of having that rest, having that time away to spend time with family, to just get fed, to have nothing to think about. It is important to be able to avoid those burnouts.
It's vital. Rest is vital. Engagement in rest. Purposeful, intentional rest. And everyone, rest looks different, man. I mean, rest to me sometimes is like yesterday I went for like an hour and 10-minute run. Okay? Well, that was restful to me. And I know that sounds counterintuitive, but that's something I enjoy doing. I went out and did that. During that time, I didn't take any phone calls. I didn't write any emails. I didn't send anything. Just that was me alone with the Lord. I was actually listening to worship music running down the little sidewalk. And so sometimes rest for me is I put my phone away early in the afternoon and I go spend that day with my kids and my wife. And you call, you text. I told somebody last week, they had sent me something on Wednesday and I said, hey, I'm not going to answer this. I'm just letting you know. I'm not going to answer this until next week. There's a lot of information. I'm not going to process it. I'm not putting it on my plate. I'm going to go be with my wife and kids for the holiday. And I will gladly look at it next week, and then we'll talk about it then. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Correct.
There's nothing. Not everything's an emergency. Not everything demands an immediate response, right? I had a mentor one time that told me, he said, I want you to count your spiritual engagements and then your people engagements every day. Count how many interactions you have with people. And so I went through a day, and this was Bible verses, prayers, communication, talking. Some of it was fun. Some of it was hard. Some of it was grueling. All of this. But it came down to something like 48 times a day. 48 times a day. That could be as simple as me sending you a Bible verse.
2 times an hour.
Right. That could be as simple as me sending you a Bible verse that says, hey, I like this in the book of James. Check this out, right? Okay, that's a spiritual engagement. And then 10 minutes later, send another one, right? And then 20 minutes later, somebody tells me their grandma's in the hospital. Now I'm praying for them. Then 20 minutes later, somebody tells me they need marriage counseling. Then 20 minutes later, somebody says they need this. Then 30 minutes later, I have an appointment for this. And then I have a meeting. And then I got these secondary issues that are other pastors and other kingdom members in Northwest Arkansas that want to engage. And then there's things inside the church and inside the community and all this. And it came down to, this was several years ago, and I know it's gone up since then. It was something like 48 times a day.
If you think about
minimum.
Yeah, minimum. If you think about that in terms of just the way my brain works, being a mathematician.
Yeah.
Think about that. If you average 8 hours of sleep.
Right.
Okay, so you're only awake 16 hours of the day. That is 3 times an hour, every hour, something that is not on your mind, that has been asked of you.
Right.
Coming. That's a lot.
Well, I feel that in my soul. It's
literally every 20 minutes.
And it happens. And it, man, look, there's days where I turn that phone off. That I'm the one then that goes creates it in someone else, okay? But the fact of it is, with that amount of pressure coming towards you, with that amount of input or desired input or need help or need this, you just had better have some avenues that you can rest and you can say no, or you can say, wait, pause, hold on, just chill for just a second, okay? I have some good things right now that other pastors in Northwest Arkansas are reaching out to me wanting to do. And I just don't have the energy until after budget season. I just told them, look, I don't have the time. I don't physically have the time. The amount of events that we do in December and the amount of things that we do in the next, you know, 6 or 7 weeks, I said, I just don't have the time. We have to revisit it then because I don't have the energy to put into it now. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it shows where we are as a culture, this on-demand, 24/7, everyone's got to be available. Yeah. You know, and we fall into that too. I know you're like me. You text somebody at 8 o'clock when you probably shouldn't have, you know. I do that, you know, and I try to be better about sending emails where I'm not texting people in the evening times. But we all do that. We all fall into this. And it's not just pastors. Let's be honest.
Correct.
It's coaches. It's teachers. I mean, you know, their email goes off all night long every night, you know. name something that's not on call right now because of the culture we're in. Police officers, firefighters, 24 hours a day, nurses, doctors. Now you don't even need to be at the doctor's office. You just call them at home. Talk to the nurse on call. Talk to this person. Talk to that person. Everything is 24 hours a day. There's a reason. There's a reason God made darkness and light.
Yeah.
And we're horrible at understanding the simplicity of that. There's a reason God set things up the way he did, right? But we're horrible at being good stewards of it. Sure. And we create more burnout than God's
asking. Absolutely. Yeah, that's one thing that I've realized in my own life is a lot of the problems that people have, and even in my own life, a lot of the problems that I have is things that I've created within myself.
100%. I create them.
Yeah.
Me. Silly. Really. When you think about it, it really is. But man, sometimes I long for those days of simplicity. I told Colleen one time, I said, one of these years, and I don't know if God tarries, if the Lord tarries, I'm going to ask the Lord if he'll let me go to like Montana and pastor a church of like 40 here in about 20 years and just live in the mountains. And I'm going to ride my horse down to church on Sundays. And then I'm just going to help people cut firewood or something. I said, some days I long for that.
Sure.
Just to give my mind a break. You know, we live in a busy town. You know, our little town that we're in is not busy, but the area is very busy. It's a constant pull.
Correct.
One of the fastest growing places in the country.
Yeah.
And so, because of that, there's kind of a constant pull for the next thing. You know, what's next? And I think that contributes to burnout. I think it just does. I think it just helps people get burned out. But I think, like I said, the most important way to avoid burnout is your relationship with Jesus. What's another thing? Give me another thing, Pastor T. Obviously, our relationship with Jesus, but what's something else? Tell me how to avoid burnout.
One of the things that we've kind of discussed, but it's a power of a two-letter word. Power of no.
It's my favorite word.
No. It's my daughter's favorite word right now, too. But prioritizing those things, right? Prioritizing what's important. And I think that's one thing that in the culture we live in today, nobody wants to hear because they take it personally.
Yeah.
Rather than realizing that, you know, the only reason they're saying this is because it has nothing to do with me, but it has everything to do with what's going on in their life.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And I think that's one thing that a lot of people, and I've struggled with that at times in my life, but I think that's one thing that everybody struggles with hearing is no from somebody else. And
you don't like to be rejected.
Correct. Yeah. And the Lord kind of, I was disciplining my daughter in something here just a couple weeks ago, and the Lord just kind of reminded me just how we can apply this to our own life is I was, you know, it was a moment as I was teaching her, I was like, hey, listen, no doesn't necessarily mean that it's has something to do with who you are. Mm-hmm. Said no is because it's something that we are asking you to honor what mom and dad are saying.
Sure.
Has nothing to do with who she is as an individual, but everything of something that we're trying to teach her and instill in her.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, it goes to just how we can apply it to our life and even in our spiritual life of when the Lord tells us no on some things. And it's a protection.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of people, we fail to realize is everything is a personal attack when we take everything as a personal attack.
Sure.
And it doesn't have to be that.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you find out who's mature in the room when you say no.
Yeah.
I mean, when what people don't realize is sometimes my no to you is a yes to my family.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
My no to, like, I get text messages at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night here recently, and I just don't even go into them.
Yeah.
Because I'm only with my kids playing ball. Like, my oldest son, I saw him for an hour yesterday. I took him to school at 7 o'clock to his basketball practice, and he and I left the gym and my other son at 9:15 last night. Okay? So we got home, I fed him, made sure he showered, he went to bed. I literally saw him for less than 40 minutes. Well, if you're texting me that the copier upstairs don't work, okay?
Yeah.
I don't care about that at 9:30 at night. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm not at the office. I can't. And so if I only get 30 minutes with my son, you just going to have to wait. Now, you call me and say, hey, somebody had a heart attack. We need you. You know, there's a time to answer, and we got to be flexible enough to understand that.
Sure.
Don't be so rigid in your no that you don't make an, where you make an example of it. You know, don't just go help somebody, right? If it's an emergency, you know, if an emergency happens, you can go help somebody. But I'll never forget this. Can I tell a funny story?
Yeah, of course.
This is true. I'm just transparent, so I'm just going to be transparent. One time when I was a police officer, I was also the associate pastor here, and my phone would ring all hours of the night because of what I did in the law enforcement. But I'll never forget this as long as I live. It was 10:34. I remember what time it was. It was 10:34 at night. And my cell phone started going off, and I recognized it was a number from the church. It was a person from the church. And they were a helper in a ministry in the church. They weren't even a ministry leader. They served in that ministry. But it scared me because they were kind of older, this sort of thing. 10:34 at night, I answer the phone. Hey, everything okay? You know, kind of woke me up, startled me a little bit. And they said, hey, I got this much money left in my budget. It was about this time of year. And I got these two vacuum cleaners picked out. Which one do you want me to buy? I said, what? What? I don't care. I was probably kind of rude to him. I was like, I don't care. I don't physically care. If you have money, buy the one you want. You know? If it's going to work, whichever one's going to do the best. But I just never forgot, like, that was crazy to me. And I've never forgotten that. And I know I've probably done that to somebody. I've been the guy on the other end of the phone that's like, hey, I need you to do this before tomorrow. You know, I know I have. So I'm telling on myself. But I think those kinds of things, realizing when to put the phone down, when to put the other things down, when to even say, hey, come speak for me, man. I need to take a weekend off. I need to not speak. You know, when to take a vacation, when to say, I need a weekend away. We're going out of town.
Yeah.
Maybe we're staying in town. We just can't be at the church today. I don't think that God is going to punish people for resting.
No.
You know? Or saying no.
No.
I don't think people's... It's healthy.
Sure.
It's healthy to say no.
I think there's an order to it, right? Kind of what we've discussed is, you know, prioritizing one, spending time with Jesus. Look at the disciples, right?
Yeah.
That was what they prioritized.
100%.
Right? Second is the ability to say no to some things so that you can say yes to others.
Yeah.
The disciples had to say no to some things and some jobs that they were doing so to spend time with Jesus in his ministry.
Yep.
And I think that's how we need to be. And just having those relationships and that open communication of sharing that with individuals. And then just one other thing that just comes to mind is building each other. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, you know, in the positions that we're in, and this goes to everybody just in leadership and serving and volunteering and different things, is if you try to be a one man, one woman show, you're going to get burned out and then there's not going to be nobody to do it.
Right.
Right. And I think that is important. We kind of talked about it last week on our podcast of building people rather than programs. But mm-hmm. I think it's important to have people around you that can help encourage you, uplift you, and pick up, for lack of a better word, just pick up some slack when you're down.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you don't and you try to do everything on your own all the time, you're going to fail. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get burnt out. And so I think, you know, that is another big area. And one of the greatest things I've learned was from Craig Groeschel on his leadership podcast, was understanding how to delegate. Mm-hmm. As leaders, understanding how to delegate some different things takes some of that weight off. Mm-hmm. Right. And ultimately, I feel like that's what burnout comes from, is the weight constantly over time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I looked it up, because I'm not smart enough to figure this out on my own, but the average pastor, do you know how long the average pastor lasts in a senior pastor position?
I would say less than 3 years.
2.5 years.
Oh, it's close. Man, yeah.
The average pastor,
yeah,
can only pastor for 2.5 years.
Wow. Think about that.
And if you think about it, you know, obviously, we see the mega churches and the churches on TV and stuff. They're thriving. But think about the small churches, right? Mm-hmm. That don't have the funds, that don't have mm-hmm. the abilities.
Mm-hmm.
You're literally creating a budget based off of simply, you never know what's going to come into the week, because yeah. you may have 100 people this week, but then next week you may have right. 60, right? Some right. of those churches, and you think about what the pastor's trying to do and their heart and their they just, if they don't build a team and they don't build mm-hmm. people around them, all of a sudden for 2.5 years they're going, they're investing their time, their effort, their money, all this, that there's just this huge weight for so long they can't last.
That's a big weight, man. And you're right about building a team. One of the things I would say to that is you obviously need church leadership, you need people to help you, you know, those sorts of roles. But one thing I would say for sure, as far as your personal time, in your personal time, spend time with people who want nothing from you, you know? And that's what I try to major in, is I try to find people who want to be with me for Zach, not because I'm a pastor. I want to find people that want to hang out with me because they enjoy my company, not because they think I'm going to give them a position in the church, not because they think I'm better than anybody else, or not because, you know, they think I'm perfect, or not. All my friends and family, they know that those things aren't true. But I try to personally, when there is a chance for a dinner, when there is a chance for a deer hunting trip or a duck hunting trip or a, you know, whatever, even if it's a few hours, even if it's just for 2 or 3 hours, I try to spend time with people who just want to be around me.
Yeah.
They don't need anything from me. And not that, hey, and look, not that we don't feed each other. All those conversations turn back to God, you know.
Sure.
But they're not needing me to wear the pastor hat 99% of the time. Now, sometimes that happens. Sometimes they wear that pastor hat for me. Sometimes they wear that mentor hat for me. But I found that's super healthy to avoid burnout. We're going to have to do a part 2 on this later, because we didn't get near as deep as I wanted. But the things we're going to talk about for sure on this episode that we have talked about is prayer, our personal time with Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. The ability to say no and prioritize and delegate. And maybe next week when we get back together, we can talk about some practical things that is a little bit more laid out, a little more of a blueprint for our personal lives, because man, we've got to go deeper into that.
Yeah,
it's real.
I agree. There is one thing on that. I heard this from another pastor just last week. And if we could all, pastors, leaders, just people in life, adopt this, and I value what he said in this, is When he's asked what his schedule is for the day or for the week or for the month, his response is, well, the first thing I need to do is get with Jesus and pray. And after that, I'll let you know.
Amen, dude.
And the maturity in that.
Yeah.
And if we could all apply that, honestly, everything else would kind of take care of itself.
Yes.
And so that's a challenge to me.
Yeah.
It's a challenge to you as listeners, is everything that we've said today, yes, 100%. But most important, kind of going back to how we said, spending time with Jesus is number one.
If we
can pray and spend time with him and then allow everything else to fall in place after that, everything will be good. So thank you for listening to the Pastor's Porch. We love you guys. Have a blessed day. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Pastor's Porch. If you don't have a church home, come join us at Unity Covenant Church in West Fork, Arkansas. We would love to have you. Thank you for your continual support to this podcast. Please stay tuned for more episodes. Have a great day, and God bless.